Okay. Listen, for the end of this month, it's a nice crowd. Can't complain. Thank you. No, I'm very happy. Even Moshe came. Okay. Hey, Bonnie. Okay, everybody, say, pleasure to be here this afternoon. I like to describe the way an outsider looks at what the phenomenon, which is called the end of the Zman. It has up as a Hebrew word, like Seif something, but it has Seif, end of the Zman. What was that word? Says the Akisha guys don't know about it. For sure not, the end of the Zman. Okay. What's this? What is it? What is an outsider, someone who's not really, let's say, suffering from that psychological issue at that point? What do you see? So now, let me tell you just some of the statements that we hear sometimes. It's so hard. It's almost the end. I've been doing so stark, so long. It's so much. You know, I was here the whole Pesach and everything, and it was just a long. It's very long, and I already stark so much. Okay, say this. So leave me alone. It's a big deal. How much more do I need? It's only another 3 weeks left. 2 weeks left. 1 week left. 1 day left. Some people a week and a half. Some people. Whatever I want to like try to understand it, and maybe let's try to work on it and see where it comes from. I'm not coming to say the word that people say I'm all burnt out and whatever it is that you know that they'll take it to your psychologist. But no, just the concept of the concept of it's the end and it's hard to finish off. That's something that I want to be able to show from a little bit, maybe Parsha, last week Parsha, the different thoughts to help us maybe get past it. I'm trying to change, trying to like work on it. Let's get a little past it. You know, there's a famous story, and it's a shame that I'm not good at remembering stories or making up stories. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you the idea. I don't remember the exact part, but it's a famous story that there was someone who came down to this world. He was a very, very big Balstaka, and came back into this world because when he went upstairs, after he was such a big Balstaka, he got so much schar and so much everything. And they said, but there's one time that you had the opportunity to give tzedakah to a very someone who is an ani, but this guy bugged you and bothered you and harassed you, and you said, "Get out of here! Don't ever want to see you again." Instead of going to the downstairs world in Gehenim, he gave him the choice that you don't necessarily have to go because so much stuck that you did. It's understandable, really, really. I understand what happened, and I'll give you a second try. Would you like a second try? Would you like go down to Gehenim? So after a lot of deliberation, he decided, "I will go back down to the world." So he goes down. He was born to a very poor family, and he was a very kind-hearted person. It was the same guy who gave so much stuck. He was a kind-hearted person, and he was nice to people. He ended up doing a lot of good things. He ended up moving up in life, and having a lot of money. And he gave a lot of stuck again the next time. There was one person who kept on bothering him, an ugly beggar that harassed him and bothered him, and he couldn't deal with it. It used to make him crazy. Upstairs, you know, his grandfather and his father and the Malachim and Hashem are saying, you know, listen, this is the one thing you came down to the world for. Why don't you like, okay, so he's ugly, he's bothering you and this and that. But what are you here for? What's the purpose? Please, do it. You know, and they're shuckling and they're davening, but it doesn't help people davening upstairs. Upstairs doesn't necessarily help. We got to do things on your own over here. And he had this fight back and forth with this himself. He knew he wanted to. He felt like he wanted to help the guy, but the guy was making him crazy. And everything he gave him, he kept on being nice to him. Everything he gave him kept on back in your face, and harassing him and bothering him and chasing him and nagging him. And until you know, at one point he was just about to say, "Get out of my life," and he stopped himself. And that's where the story ends. And whether he didn't do it, sometimes you don't realize there are moments of your life that's what we're here for. It's not only in these kind of things. It could be you have stories. Sometimes you have a story in a sports player who has been training his whole life for a certain time. And when it hits a certain time, it's like there's so much pressure, and someone all of a sudden you hear someone from the crowd call him like a name that he hasn't been called since he was in high school, and you know, it's like you know, he's about to hit that, you know, he's going for the last foul shot with 4 seconds left, and he's about to, and someone call him, and he wants to take the ball and throw it at the guy, but you have to know this is what you're here for. I actually didn't think about it. I heard a story. This is a story from it could be Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein said over the story. I said over the story. It was in the time of I don't remember. It was in the time of Corona, when it was really, really bad in America. Like right before Pesach time last year. He spoke and he said the story. He said, I had to go to the hospital for someone I knew, and you know, of course they don't really let you in, but somehow or another he had an opportunity to speak to the head, the head doctor. It was a woman of that hospital, and she was working day and night, 24 hours, and she had no time to sleep, no time to rest, no time for herself, making life decisions. And it was tough. It was really tough. So she said that she had to talk about a certain patient to him, and she was talking to him with no time. And then she says to him, "I don't understand, ma'am. How do you do this? This is so much pressure. How do you do this?" And then she looked at him and said, "Rabbi, I don't understand your question. I went through 12 years of intense training to become a doctor, working hard, started from the bottom, night shifts and everything like that, making myself crazy for this job. This is what I was going for this crazy time. I studied everything, I was a great student, I worked hard, I made no money, I borrowed money, and I worked for this kind of time, to be able to work hard right now and to save these lives that nobody else has the ability to do except for me. You want me to say it's too hard? Are you crazy? That's not too hard." Now, whatever we're going to say about Saif Zman, it's hard to, at the end, it's not easy. It's not easy to push to the end, to work a little harder. I know it's almost over. Come on, whatever. It's the end of the game. This is when you're gonna fall out. You made it till the end. Everyone grew a certain amount, really did. And who knows, like, what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to get to. Like, where's the bar that you're supposed to be? Maybe it's right here, and all you gotta do is get to here. How do you know? "But I already worked so hard, Rebbe. It's so tough. My roommate's sleeping. Why do I have to get up?" These are great tainas for people that need help. But seriously, how do you know where you're supposed to go to? Maybe another 2 weeks is exactly the amount of time you need. Maybe not. Maybe you need 3 weeks. Then you're lucky. You could stay further. No, but you just have to be able to put it in perspective and to see where we're going, what we're doing, and how we're thinking about ourselves, and how we're selling ourselves short of maybe this is the straw that's going to pick us to the top and bring us to the next level, and it's going to help us have the Siyata Shemaya to whatever we need to do, or to wherever we need to go. Like, who knows? There's so many stories. There's so many stories of one more push, and the guy made $1 million. You know, he tried one more time, and, you know, didn't think it was going to work. Boom, that's what I had. And with learning, with Siyata Shemaya, with davening, these kind of things, you don't believe it? The answer is you do believe it, except the Yetzer Hara just tells you not to act that way. That's just my feeling. Meantime, let's get into the parasha. Shlach, beginning of the parasha, the Medrash brings very interesting. When it says Shlach, we sent the Meraglim. Meraglim obviously did the wrong thing. They started off biggest tzaddikim in the whole Klal Yisrael. They were the biggest tzaddikim in the whole Klal Yisrael. And then what happened? They went down. They became Rishoyim. And Rashi says in the beginning when they went out with bad thoughts, but they were picked as the biggest tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael. That's what they were. They were picked as the biggest tzaddikim. And how they make this mistake, there's all kinds of pshatim, how they made the mistake, we're not going to talk about that. The Medrash says, the beginning of the parasha, shluchei mitzvah peturim. Someone who's going out to, it starts talking about lumdus, the middle of the Medrash, the halacha is someone shluchei mitzvah peturim in a sukkah. If you're doing to do a mitzvah, you're part of a sukkah. Says the Medrash, there's nothing more beautiful to Hashem than someone who's a shliach mitzvah. And he gives his life for it, and he does whatever he can to make sure it works. He is focused on what he's doing, and there's nothing else more important. Hashem doesn't want you doing other mitzvahs if the thing you're supposed to be doing now is a mitzvah. Don't stop what you're doing. Oisek min ha-mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. You're doing something. You gotta know what you're doing. Again, of course, every halacha has you know its side. Sidekicks, not everything is 100% exactly that way. But if you're doing a mitzvah, you're part of a mitzvah. Why? Because you're a shliach. A shluchei mitzvah in nizakim, for the same reason. And shluchei mitzvah are part of a mitzvah. Says the Medrash, there's nothing is more chavav. Where do we know that from? This parsha. Shlach. So, obviously, the Meraglim weren't 100% that way. But the raya we bring is, says the Medrash, the raya is in the Haftarah when Yeshua sent the messengers to Eretz Yisrael. They went to the city of Jericho, right? They went to Yericho, and they went to the house of Rachav Hazoina. Yeshua and Kalev, the two holiest, best people, not Yeshua and Kalev, Pinchas and Kalev. Pinchas, who became Eliyahu HaNavi, and Kalev. And it says they were hidden over there. They came to find them. They couldn't see them. They wanted, this Rachav HaZana wanted to hide them in a haystack. And Pinchas says, you don't have to hide me, because Eliyahu HaNavi can't see me anyways. So the Medrash says that a shliach is, someone who's totally given over to his job, 100% there for his job. So when they went over there, they gave up their life because there's nothing in their mind besides doing what Hashem asked them to do, find it out, and therefore you can't even see them because it's a full-fledged shliach. It's exactly what you were supposed to do. Says the Shari Tshuva. Listen to the Shari Tshuva. You want to be smart? Listen to this. Mi shechalenu Hashem yisbarach deya. Someone that has a drop of brains. Hashem gave him chanenu meyitcha deya bina v'hasel. Shechalenu Hashem yisbarach deya. Hashem gave him deya. Like chanenu meyitcha deya. Okay. Yashiv aliba. You should put to his heart. I think it's fine. Hashem yisbarach sholchoi bo'olam hazeh. Hashem sent us here in this world for a purpose. Now he's about to tell us what we're here for. Okay, everyone, hold on. What are we here? Lishmar mishmartoi, to guard the thing that he wants you to guard, v'tayrasai, and to watch his Torah, v'chukas, u'mitzvayisav. And that's all we're here for, to watch the mitzvahs, the Torah, exactly what Hashem wants. V'lo yifakeach einav, you shouldn't even look anything else. Zulasi lasais shilchusai. What are you here for? Just do what you're supposed to do. Decide what we're doing, and then do it. And the end, when you get older, and after days pass, im asa shlichusay be'emuna, if you did your shlichus be'emuna, yashuv uba berina, you're going to come back and to upstairs berina, everyone's going to be so happy to see you. V'simchas oylam al roisha ke'eved, like an eved asheshocha hamelch le'ev ayam, and In other words, when we go down to this world, we're like being an Eved. We're supposed to be an Eved. Again, an Eved is someone who does what the master says. That's a translation of what Eved is. So someone who goes to Ever Hayam, She'ein Eina V'liba Zulasi Al Dvar Shechusai Ad Shuvai Al Danav. He's not thinking about anything else until he comes back to his master. Now that's the purpose, he says, it has to do with Bitachon, Emuna. That's the purpose of being in this world, is to do what Hashem wants. Now, it's not necessarily about what we think we want to do. It's about what Hashem wants. So I saw a story. There's a sefer called Yechi Ruvain. I don't know if you've seen the sefer. It's someone I've heard him speak. He's not actually not alive anymore. I heard many times, and I actually enjoy the sefer. Ruvain Karelenstein from Bnei Brak. Anyways, so he was close with the, you know, Chazon Ish and whatever, all these holy Jews. So he said he was sick. He needed a kidney transplant, and he said he was in America. He's related somehow to Shmuel Birnbaum. He was in America for over a year waiting for a kidney. For over a year or around a year waiting for a kidney, and not kashmak, but he was there. He used to speak. He's like a magid. He would speak and give shmuzim. One night at 2:30 in the morning, Shmuel Birnbaum's son, who is his relative, calls him up and he starts talking to him. He said, "You were by my father's shir today." He said, "Ask him a question." He said, "Yeah, it's 2:30 in the morning. I'm not sleeping. Why are you talking about this?" I said, "I'll tell you the truth. The truth is, they just called me from the hospital, and they said that they found a kidney for you. I just didn't want to tell you right away." So he said, whoa. Maybe it's wait till the morning. All of a sudden, he starts getting all nervous. And he said, maybe it's not the right one. Maybe it's wait till the morning. Is there any problem of waiting a little longer? Maybe I should go back to sleep. So I'll feel more comfortable, more healthy. So this guy says to him, "I don't understand. Why are you pushing it off? Why are you here in America if it's not to get a kidney? This should be the most exciting thing in the world." Somehow or another, when it gets to the thing that you're here for, most important thing, it's tough to do it. This is the make it or break it. It's a hard thing for me to do. All of a sudden, we're backing off of our life goal. I mean, people will just watch themselves and realize that there's no question about it. There's a purpose that people came to Eretz Yisrael, came to Yeshiva, come to a Seder, come to anything. And you see, by the end of the shmooze, everyone's leaving. That's the climax. You know what I mean? How could you miss that? I'm sorry. I was talking to other guys, not for states. Whatever. It can't be that what you're here for, we're leaving for. But we see that people do that. Because I just can't do it. I can't do it now. Maybe I'll come back tomorrow. But right now we're about to finish Tesis. No, I'll learn Tesis tomorrow. Tomorrow's a different Tesis. Okay, I'll learn that one. Then you end up with nothing. If you're not willing to go through until the end, then you end up with nothing. Because it's not planned, but it's not for here. But I remember Rav Asher Ariely used to say, he was very, very mocked, people shouldn't leave early. Very mocked people. Now already in the mirror became a thing that a lot of Rabbeim are trying to get people to stay. But Rav Asher used to be in my days, Rav Asher was the only one that was Machmed. So someone said that if he leaves a day early, it's $200 cheaper. Obviously, it's always, Hashem always makes it work that way. It's never different. Always makes it that a day, 2 days early is $200, $700 cheaper. It has to be that way. Just whatever. I guess Hashem wants to give us more schar. I don't know. But it always works that way. So he said, I don't understand. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. The Zman, I hope it's not going to be so funny, but this is a Subhashra. Okay. The Zman is like Shabbos. Shabbos is Kaddish. The Zman is Kaddish. Did you ever hear someone say on Shabbos that it's okay, like whatever, it's after Shalosh Shittes, it's Shalosh Shittes time, it's getting dark, it's almost dark already, Shabbos is almost over, okay, so I'll make a phone call now, because Shabbos is almost over? That doesn't make any sense. What's the difference? This man is this man. See here? Why is it different because it's the end? He liked it. Okay. Okay. It's the Reb Asher's a joke. Should I say it again? Okay. So again, we just have to, again, it's very important to be real and to realize that it's only the Yetzirah that's telling you that there's a difference between the beginning, the middle, and the end. It's really not. And I always like saying that, Be'etzim, why is it more geschmack in the beginning? Why is this man, you feel good in the beginning of this man, it's more geschmack, limited bread? It's a chesed Hashem gives us. It's a 100% chesed Hashem gives us to feel good in the beginning. But the reason why we feel good in the beginning is to teach us that it could be good in the end also. That there's no reason why we can't be stark at the end also. Okay, anyways, so the question is exactly how to get it. So I just want to say over one and two verlach. We're getting towards the end. Made a bracha before. I know it ruins the shmooze if you don't make a bracha during the shmooze. But it says that Kalev got a lot of schar for doing what he did. He went. He was moysa nefesh. This is part of what we said before. He was a shliach, and he was 100% shliach. And he says, and Hashem said, because he had a ruach acher, Hashem is going to give him extra parts of an Eretz Yisrael. He gave him a lot of schar for what he did. So Kalev was really chashuv. Now, what did he do for us? Okay, so he fought himself. He went to Maris HaMachpelah to daven to make sure that he doesn't fall. Make sure he doesn't fall with the rest of the bums that he was with. So he had to get away and he had to do it. Yeshua got himself a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. This is different mahalchim, by the way. It's not a word from the Chafetz Chaim, but it's not the whole word. It's different mahalchim. Some people go to the Rebbe's, some people go to Chevron, whatever. But you got to do something to keep yourself on track. Otherwise, you're going to become like the rest of them. But what did he do for us? What did he do? So it says, after all the Meraglim started hacking and getting all the people upset, all of a sudden Yeshua gets up. He gets up on a chair and he says, "Vayas Kalev Esa'am." Kalev. He got everyone quiet. How did he get everyone quiet? He starts saying, "You know what Moshe Rabbeinu did for us?" And all of a sudden it's quiet. He thought, "Whoa, Kalev is also going with the Meraglim." And they were quiet, and he started saying that he did everything good for us, and everything he says is true, and Eretz Yisrael is great, Toiv Ha'aretz Moed Moed, everything is amazing. That's what Kalev did for us. Ask Moshe Feinstein, did it work? Didn't work. Right afterwards, the Meraglim started getting them, and they all started crying, Boichel Mishpat Chaseyam, they're all crying, and then everything went down, and because of that, we have Tisha B'Av. So it didn't work. So what is he getting so much schar for? Says the Moshe Feinstein, you know what? It doesn't matter if it works or not. My job is to do what I'm supposed to do. Right now, I got to get up, I got to say my piece, because this is what I feel. And if I feel this way, I'm going to express it. And I don't care if you're going to listen. I'm going to say my piece. That's what Moshe says. And if there's permission, I think I remember hearing, I think, and even if I didn't, maybe we could say anyways, that maybe it did work. It didn't work to save Klal Yisrael from everyone dying, but maybe for a short time. It's a kfira. It stopped people from kfira for a short time until the Meraglim came back. I remember seeing this somewhere. I don't know where I saw it. Might have been a Chassam Sofer, that he saved an 5 minutes or 1 minute of people thinking kfira. Do you know how amazing that is? Or maybe some people had a little less kfira because of that. Unreal. He did a little bit. All you gotta do is try. If you try, you're gonna get somewhere. And it doesn't matter how far you get. For that, you get schar. And what did he say? Just to end over here, what did he say? He said, "I don't care what Moshe said. It doesn't really matter what we saw over there. Even if we didn't see good." It says, if Moshe says, "Oloi nala," we're going to go up. Says Rashi. Maybe I have it here, maybe I don't. Says Rashi, what does it mean, "Oloi nala"? Even if Moshe Rabbeinu told us to take ladders and climb up to the sky, we would do that too. Now, I saw a question. What do you mean? Take ladders and go up to the sky, we would do that too. I have a question. How do you reach the sky with ladders? Did people, we had this in Parshas Nayach, that they tried to get up to the sky. They made big buildings, and we know it was called, we call it the Dar HaFlaga. They messed up. You're going to take ladders and go up to the sky. Why don't you just jump? It's just as good as taking ladders. The answer is, this is also a Moshe Feinstein, the answer is that there's no such thing as trying to get somewhere without doing something. You're right, a ladder is not going to get me up to the sky, but if Moshe says to go up to the sky, then we will take ladders and try to go up to the sky, because we will do the most we can to get to where we have to get. Now, if the most we can is just be stuck for another week and a half, or 3.5 weeks, I think we can do that.